This podcast is brought to you by sarahraven.com, which is home to everything you need for a truly beautiful and productive garden. You'll also find great and essential gardening kit and stylish, lovely things to have in your house to bring the outside indoors, all inspired by the garden and the house being tied together. There's also plenty of garden inspiration, how-to videos and specialist growing guides. So head over to sarahraven.com today to discover even more. In this special episode of Grow Quirky to Range, discover snippets from my conversations with some seriously inspiring women to mark International Women's Day 2024. From textiles to garden design and everything in between, I've spoken to the tastemakers who've really made waves in their different fields, and I hope you'll enjoy listening to them again. First, we have a taster of my conversation with Kath Kidston about her amazing new brand, Sea Atelier, which centres around the nostalgic scent of geranium or pelargoniums and how she brings the outside in. So I left my Kath Kidston business in 2016 and I'd worked ever since I was 17. You know, I'd been nonstop going out to work, and I thought, I'll become someone who goes to the cinema in the afternoon and goes to exhibitions and travels. And it's what I imagined people did. It, you know, I was lucky enough not to have to work by that stage, but to think, okay, this is a whole new life. And what I did do was buy a greenhouse, set up a greenhouse and get really into that. But also I was out and about seeing things, and I realized all the stuff I love doing is really to get ideas for work. And I had nothing to do with my ideas.
Yes, yes. And I would struggle with that so much. Yes.
It was terrible. I had no idea. And I suddenly realized all the things I enjoy, it is solely kind of inspiring for what my next project is or whatever. Mm. So, of course, in the pandemic, I was at home. And I feel very fortunate to have been home in the countryside, don't you?
Yes.
And I spent loads of time in the greenhouse. And then I started drawing. I had a lot of geraniums in the greenhouse. So I began drawing them, doing all of that. And from that, got into learning about all their different fragrances.
Yeah.
You know, I've always loved scented geraniums. My mum, when I was a kid, taught me all about scented, you know, leaves of things.
Yeah.
And we had pelargoniums outside the kitchen. So I knew all of that. But to sort of begin to understand how many different fragrances of this one family of plants. And very intriguing. So my mum's side of the family, my granny and her sister were the last two in our kind of string of that family. And so the name stopped with my mum and her sister. And I had... So I'm very fond of the name, and we've always had it sort of, it's been a second name with boys in the family have taken it up.
That's nice.
I just wanted to remember her. She loved her garden. Both my grannies were really into their gardens in a big way. And so I just wanted to kind of celebrate the female side of my family, who actually my dad was into. I was brought up with parents who both liked gardens and was taught flower names and things when I was a kid, and spent most of my childhood out in a garden.
Yeah.
I think surprisingly little sank in, but I just it's a natural thing for me to be interested in plants and flowers and so on.
Yeah.
And so just celebrating that and keeping that alive, it felt quite pertinent to the whole project. Take inspiration from my conversation with skincare mogul and founder of Votary and my mate, Arabella Preston. Here, the serial entrepreneur talks about her love of gardening, the importance of scent, and her top choices for introducing colour and scent into her home.
So I stole a lot of ideas from my mum. She grew these amazing, they're not difficult at all, which is why I love them, these white flower carpet roses, which they're not fragrant, but they're real doers. So if you need to fill a space, and they flower all summer long. I mean, they've really only just stopped for us here. So as part of a kind of planting scheme that they just go year after year and you keep deadheading in there and they're fantastic and disease resistant. I love, again, my love of hydrangeas comes from my mum, and I have many hydrangea Annabelles planted really in her sort of memory. I have a kind of bed of them that, and then I also have hydrangeas from her garden in Shropshire that I have planted out here. I just adore hydrangea all year round. I think there's always a kind of place for them, whether it's cutting them and then bringing them in and drying them. I tend to leave them. I don't prune them until the last possible moment. And so I have all sorts of hydrangeas. Again, my mum was prone to giving us plants that she couldn't grow in Shropshire. So she'd always say, well, I can't grow this, so I'm giving it to you because you might be able to manage it in Kent. And we have a Californian tree poppy that she's like, well, no, cool, try. And she could never grow them. But we have one that is thriving here.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Because I always think that doesn't like our heavy clay, because you're on clay like me, aren't you? So it's sort of...
No, so we have it in a little bed by the house that we can kind of manage the soil a little bit in, because it's sort of more, it's almost like a container in a way. But yeah, so we do mulch it and kind of look after it, but it's on a south facing wall. So I think it likes that. But yeah, the clay was a real shock to the system, because the soil in Shropshire is a fine loamy soil. Yeah. And so I grew up, to me, that was just what soil was. So when we moved here, I was like, what is this?
Yes.
I mean, I remember trying to help Alex plant some bulbs the first, you know, sort of October, November that we were here. And it was completely backbreaking. And I basically haven't done it since. Yeah. I have to, it really is. Yeah. I hate to say it, but for down here, it's man's work.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you do it, but I literally could do about half an hour of it. And then I sort of had to come in and lie down and have a cup of tea.
And it was,
I just couldn't believe the soil here. So that has been a real adapt. I mean, it's obviously got some positives to it, but that has been a real adaption for us.
Loved by all for her insights and incredible knowledge of herbs, expert gardener and broadcaster, Jecamut Vicar, is a true pioneer when it comes to organic growing.
Growing herbs is great, but it's how you combine them. I want people to think of herbs as the cocktail. You know, everyone's into making cocktails at the moment.
Yeah.
But if you combine herbs together, you can actually transform a feast in seconds. So I think I'm going to give you a pair which go together. Is dill and coriander.
Nice.
You can put them either separately or together. And I find using them together is really good, because the lightness of the dill combats with the heaviness of the coriander. And it's something you can grow in the smallest space. If you haven't got a balcony, you can grow them in a little seed tray and have them as cress. Mm. So you can cut and add them and cut and come again, just as we used to grow cress heads, at school and things like this. So it'd be just like that. And I think that combo is just so good. And then if you add some parsley to that as well, you've got the magic combo of the East, but it goes so well with things like rice, with pasta, with vegetables, with cold salads. Mm. Yeah, so yes, so that is my top two with the parsley. And then the other one you have to have with that combo is a good spearmint.
Oh, okay, great.
Now, okay, so with the thing about growing mint anyway is you've got to keep it in a pot and keep it separate. So that's great for a balcony, and you just divide it every year and it'll keep on going. Mm. And I find that mint, it goes again with dill, with parsley, with coriander. So those four chopped up and just added to whatever you want. Mm. I mean, you know, it really is. I made a feta cheese with just those four herbs chopped into it. Mm. And then I use that as a dip. Or you have a hummus. Mm. You make yourself a basic hummus and you add those four herbs.
Lovely.
And the mint takes off the edge of it all. So that was my, so you've got your four. Well, then I sort of started getting off piste.
Oh, good.
I have to have French tarragon.
Right with you there.
French tarragon to me is the beginning of my venture with herbs. It is the herb of my family. My mother always used French tarragon, and it's a herb that I can't be without. For those that don't know, it's got a slightly anise flavor, and French tarragon makes your tongue zing when you eat it.
It does.
But when you cook with it, the flavor literally permeates the food. Mm. Beware, though, a lot of people are selling Russian tarragon labeled as French. Try a leaf before you buy it.
Yeah.
You would in Europe, so why not here?
Yeah.
If it tastes like, there's something there. No, I think it tastes like upper-class grass. Then it's Russian.
Yes, okay. Yes. And it's slightly bitter, isn't it? Sort of wormwood.
It's just slightly tougher, and it doesn't have that amazing mouthful of flavor and zing and everything else that's going around. So, and I use that with chicken, just bung it in the middle of a chicken with half a lemon, nothing else.
Yeah.
You know, and you can use it with tomatoes. It is gorgeous with tomatoes.
Oh.
People don't chop it up and add it with tomatoes. Just grill some tomatoes and chop the tarragon into the butter, and then put that last, just before your final bit of grilling, on the top of your tomatoes. Perfect. And serve that with some nice toast, and you're well away.
United by our mutual love of bold and brilliant colour, I also had the pleasure of catching up with the incredibly wonderful and talented Tricia Guild. From the RHS Chelsea Flower Show to elevating your garden with colourful accents, this episode is not to be missed.
One of the people who we reconnected through actually was Juliet Glaives, who has wonderful, wonderful flowers in the shop in King's Road and in your shop. And she is so into the sort of shapes and natural beauty of true garden plants. I mean, the sort of rigid rigor of a chrysanthemum grown through netting in a sort of huge greenhouse doesn't interest her one bit, or you or me. It's the things where the stem has collapsed over, or the plant's slightly going over perhaps, and it's kind of fruit and blackberries and all that sort of natural abundance that nature gives you that inspires her. And I'm sure that's why you have your involvement with her flowers.
Oh, absolutely. She is just such an inspiration for the store. I mean, it's wonderful. She brings her produce and looks after it, you know, because that's a very important part, isn't it, of cutting flowers or using, you know, same with salads and vegetables, but actually keeping fresh water, you know, it's part of a process. She couldn't do that.
No, dump and run. No way.
No.
Yeah.
Unless she loved it. And we work together so much. In fact, she creates our films and, you know, so we're seeing her all through different seasons and working with her at the moment on a new film. And she just brought, you know, some marvelous branches and real inspiration, because they're real. They're not blossoms, as you say, that are straight and rigid, and you know, these have got this sort of wonderful curves and absolute nature within the home. And it doesn't have to be abundant.
No,
you know, it's not
can
about
be minimal.
It's not about having to afford great big bouquets. It's not about that.
No.
You know, can be, but it can also be one stem.
Yeah.
And the life of that flower.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. And the petals dropping, which is, you know, something that's still in the States, I think they're a little bit behind us in that. But I do think Instagram and female florists have really driven us forward on this, you know, just the whole thing of the celebration of the thing as it's sort of slightly off its peak and, you know, not past its best. And a celebration of that is such a really lovely change in graphic design that I've seen, and in gardens, and particularly in floristry. And I think that's such an optimistic, it's sort of getting away from the absolutely, you know, the wonky vegetable is a good thing, and the wonky flower.
Absolutely.
And, celebration of the really individual.
Don't peel everything either.
From rural India all the way back to the British countryside, I caught up with the wonderful Molly Mann to talk about what inspires her to create her iconic motifs that adorn her textiles.
Well, I'll dive in with saying, no, I didn't. I didn't go to art school. I actually didn't even do art GCSE at school. I was sort of sent in a slightly more academic route. And I look back now, I remember at the time feeling sort of mortified that I wasn't doing something creative. But I look back now and I wonder if that was actually how I've ended up here doing this now, because I think I always yearned for creativity and being creative. And so A-levels or GCSEs aside, and spending a lot of my time at university in my friends' art departments, I had to sort of forge my own way creatively. And I think I also, by that point, after school, figured I'd finished all my sort of educational side of things, and that actually it would just be a hobby and it would just be something I did at weekends or in my own time. I've got a very creative family. My grandmother was an artist. My mother is a very successful artist. And growing up, I grew up sort of torn between my dad being in the garden and my mum doing creative things at the kitchen table, be it marbling or bookbinding or painting, all those things. So I had a very creative surrounding, I suppose, and therefore I sort of breathed it in my own life as well. And it wasn't, I mean, life ran away with me in my 20s, I suppose, and I was thinking careers and fun and life and boyfriends and all that sort of thing. And it wasn't until I was married and I had my first daughter, Lani, so this is now about 16 years ago, that I found myself at home and spending a lot more time at the kitchen table. And I'm not a great baker or a great sort of cooker, and I needed something to sort of spend my time being busy with. I love being busy. I had a very busy career before I got into this.
Can I interrupt and ask you what that was?
Yes, I had an events company, so I organized events, and we did sort of weddings and corporate events. I lived in London. I ran it with another girl. We would hire amazing venues in London. And actually the bit I always loved the most was organizing the flowers. And working with the table centres. And I suppose if I look back, I was being creative, but in a different format. And so once I had Lani, events was not the best sort of career to combine with children. So I stopped doing that. And yeah, I found myself at the kitchen table. I just needed to be busy. And so I started to do different things, from drawing to illustration. And nothing really, really sort of made me feel terribly excited, until I took myself on a block printing workshop with a lady called Angel, who lived in Barnes. I was living in London in Barnes at this time. And I went on her course, and I don't know what it is, and I'm still trying to work it out now, but there was something about block printing that just caught my attention, gave me this extraordinary kind of energy and feeling of, yes, this is what I love and this is what I want to do. You probably had that when you first kind of came into your gardening era. I don't know why or what it is about us. We all have our different things.
Finally, listen back to my conversation with my mate, the entrepreneur Joe Fairley. A hive of knowledge when it comes to flower scent and perfume, Joe reveals her favourite flowers for fragrance and their close links to childhood memories and nostalgia, particularly around Mother's Day. Don't forget to like, rate, subscribe, and catch up on all our fabulous episodes wherever you prefer to listen to your podcasts.
Well, I became an entrepreneur slightly by accident, actually. And my first venture was Green and Blacks with my husband. So that was a bit like hitting the bullseye first time round.
Yeah.
But, then the bakery, a well-being centre, the Perfume Society, all the while working as a journalist, which is my background.
Yeah.
And I've never been a gardening writer, but I have written about everything from elephant polo to sumo wrestling, actually. So it's never been boring. But my absolute escape, of course, is gardening. I'm obsessed with scent. I have been ever since I was a little girl, tiny girl. And I love perfume. I love wearing perfume. I love smelling things. I'm a bit like Richard E. Grant, who says that he goes around literally smelling everything. I smell everything. Food, plants, things. And so I do sort of in my garden try to specialise in scented plants. I make an exception for tulips because very few of them have a smell. But if I'm putting in a shrub, I really want it to pay its way by wafting at me.
Don't forget to like, rate, subscribe, and catch up on all our fabulous episodes wherever you prefer to listen to your podcasts.
You can find more information, photos, and advice sheets on all the plants and recipes we talk about on this podcast by heading to the show notes or at sarahraven.com/podcast.